welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer, and welcome back to our beautiful campus. I love having you here.
Well, thank you. It's always so fun to be here. And you know what I was noticing today as I was driving onto campus and
Please.
Then as we walk around campus?
Yes.
It's very neat and tidy and well-maintained.
Thank you.
You know, it's a beautiful campus. And I started thinking that it's a funny contrast to what we have talked about in previous episodes sort of here and there, but I really kind of wanted to bring to the forefront in an episode of its own, which is the idea that learning is sort of anything but neat and manicured and tidy. That learning is kind of, well, it can be messy.
There's a juxtaposition between our gorgeous, pristine campus and what goes on in the classroom and in the co-curricular activities.
Yeah, it hides.
That's true. It's lurking.
The tumultuous learning that's happening in the classrooms. I mean, we have talked before about, that's a concept that I think it's a tough adjustment for some people to make, which is that learning isn't neat and tidy and it doesn't follow an answer key or the pages of a book or a web page, that it gets a little messy sometimes.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of uncomfortable learning. I've touted for many, many years about the importance of uncomfortable learning, which is to, again, it's getting back to something we talked about a couple weeks ago about active learning and the idea of engaged learning. And it also means that you've got to embrace recognize the diversity of ideas, and not all ideas are going to resonate with you. Not all ideas and subjects, for that matter, will appeal to you. But you have to be able to appreciate the diversity of all of those ideas and things. And that's what the liberal arts really are about.
Well, and that I think that's a really key point, that appreciating, because we have also discussed before how, especially in this day and age, it seems like We believe what we believe. We're not always necessarily so open to other people's beliefs or thinking, and we sort of tend to kind of stick close to our own beliefs and thoughts.
Especially in this country, politically, right? When you look at national politics, this is, you know, you either love what I think or you are a really bad person. And actually, we saw this recently. I was surprised to learn about the interesting relationship that Justice Ginsburg had with Justice Scalia.
So we're talking about Antonin Scalia. He passed away in February of 2016, earlier this year.
That's right.
And Ruth Bader Ginsburg, boy, they were on opposite ends of the political spectrum.
Right. In terms of the law, they were. And yet, one thing I discovered as the articles came out surrounding his death was that they were very dear friends. And there were interviews. I watched some interviews where they'd be interviewed together, and they were obviously had a great affection for each other. In fact, at one point, Scalia in some interview, someone said to Scalia, you know, boy, so you get along with each other. And he said, what's not to love except that she's, you know, wrong on all her views of the law. But to me, I found that relationship to be very inspirational, that you and I can disagree and yet we can still like each other, we can still respect each other even though we disagree. And if you look at the national conversation, that is not the norm. And I find that extraordinarily depressing.
Well, and if you take a step or two back, so let's take a few steps back from the arena of learning. It seems like most places in life, the message is uncomfortable or messy equals bad, and that we're mostly encouraged to do things to try to not be uncomfortable, to be comfortable, and to tidy up the messes. And, you know, in the arena of learning, though, that's not necessarily going to work very well.
We want to be challenged intellectually. We want to be challenged philosophically, and we want to be able to be pushed. And sometimes, and I think we've talked about, haven't we talked about doubt once?
Yes.
Yes. Well,
oh, yes.
This comes back to that episode where, you know, I was talking about putting a percentage on how confident you are or how you're in your convictions. And that after you and I debate, I might have come into the conversation saying that my side, I believe in my side, you know, 85%. But after we debate, maybe I come out and saying I still believe in my convictions, but maybe 79%, that I've moved a little bit. There's change. That changes education. Doesn't mean that I'm still... No, I'm no longer for that issue, but I see it in a different way, or I can empathize with a different side. And again, not to say that you need to jump sides, but we have to understand each other. When someone comes to me with an opposing point of view, my knee-jerk reaction, and I'm sharing something personal with you, my knee-jerk reaction is honestly not, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
My knee-jerk reaction is, you're seeing this thing from a different perspective than I'm seeing it, and I'm curious as to how you're looking at it, because that's not how I see it. That's a different mindset. That's a mindset of curiosity, which again leads to this uncomfortable elements of trying to understand someone who has an opposing or different point of view.
I also wonder if some of our discomfort with discomfort is because, at least in a formal educational setting, that might be tied up with grades.
Mm.
So the idea that, you know, we've got to show our work a certain way, we've got to, if you will, sort of color within the lines, and you get a better grade for kind of sticking with that, or sort of sticking with the straight and narrow. We don't really have, in very many places, systems that accommodate sort of some swings in thinking and some experimentation and some, maybe we've talked about the importance of failing. You know, our grading system doesn't really allow for that too much in the classroom. So I wonder if that can also hamper our just wanting to kind of let it all hang out and you know, give some ideas a try.
Well, and taking risks. I mean, that's what it's about.
Yeah.
And so being uncomfortable, even in, and if you avoid certain courses of study that intrigue you, but you're afraid you might not be successful, then that is actually, I think, the opposite of what a liberal arts education is supposed to be. You're supposed to embrace those things that you're drawn to but not good at. In fact, I'll tell you, I've got a colleague of mine. We had a great conversation. This was about a month or so ago. We had a great conversation, very animated. And he was inspired to say, you know, in this country, we have loan forgiveness, but not grade forgiveness.
Ah.
And so, you know, maybe we should have some forgiveness. If someone takes a course that's uncomfortable for them or risky for them, and they don't get that A like they get in every other course, they, you know, God forbid, they get a B minus or C plus, that maybe somehow that grade goes away because we acknowledge the fact they took that risk and we want to kind of give them credit for that, and yet still have them go to law school or medical school or this school or that school or graduate school. And I think it's an interesting thought, the idea of, you know, how are we rewarding people, and is that causing them to live in their comfort zone and not explore their uncomfortable side?
All right, I'm ready to get a little uncomfortable here then with a new puzzler.
You ready to get jiggy?
Yep, lay it on us.
All right, I've got one for you.
Okay.
Okay, so you have a box.
Okay.
Containing 10 mangoes.
Okay.
I love mangoes, by the way.
Okay.
I hope you do too.
10, I do, they're good.
Thank you very much. Now, you also have 10 friends.
Okay.
Who each would like a mango.
Okay.
So you give each of your friends a mango.
Okay.
Now, all of your friends have a mango each.
Yes.
Yet there is a mango remaining in the box. How is that possible?
All right. Let me make sure I have what I think are the pertinent facts.
Go ahead.
There's a box.
There's a box.
There are 10 mangoes in the box.
10 mangoes.
You have 10 friends who are not in the box. They are outside of the box.
You have 10 friends who are not in the box. They are outside
the box.
They're
standing near the box. You take a mango and you put a mango in the hand of each friend. However, you are still left with mangoes. Just one mango?
So you give each one of your friends a mango.
Right.
And now all of your friends
have
a mango each, and yet there is a mango remaining in the box.
And the question is, how is that possible?
How is that possible?
Okay.
That's the thing.
Okay. I think, all right, I have the pertinent facts.
And you have the pertinent facts?
There's a hypothesis bubbling. I'm going to let
it. Can I see what you wrote? Because I always tell the viewers what you write. I was reading this one.
So I did.
Where is it?
Drew a box.
Where is it?
There are 10 mangoes in the box.
Oh, let me see. Hold on a second.
And then next to it, I wrote.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is not particularly insightful. She just drew a little square and she wrote 10 mangoes inside.
And then there are 10 friends outside and there were lines going out.
This was not as good as they have been in the past, folks.
I was drawing as I was going.
I see.
However, we are going to praise me for doing this because I don't consider myself an artist or very creative, yet I often will try to sketch these out, and that is definitely outside my comfort zone.
I think it's more important to focus on process than praise.
Uh-huh.
So in fact, it's not praising, it's the fact that you wrote something down and that you're thinking through it. That's what's important.
Yeah, and I have, so as I say, I've got, you know, I have an idea bubbling. I'm going to let it percolate.
Here's what you do. Just like a mango. Take the idea, put it in a brown paper bag and close it up. And if you wait about 4 or 5 days, or in our case, about a week, It should ripen.
Let it ripen.
There you go. Just like a mango.
So getting back to our discussion about learning is messy and uncomfortable, I want some help then from you, from me and for other people who, when we decide to put ourselves in an arena that we consider outside our comfort zone, often what I will feel is anxiety. You know, I'm nervous. I don't feel like I can do this. I'm not sure I belong there. How do you get past that anxiety? Or maybe it's something that we just sort of learn to live with as part of the learning and growing process.
Well, it's practice, right?
Uh-huh.
If you don't put yourself in those anxious situations, then you will continue to have that anxiety. If you have that anxiety and then you overcome the situation, then slowly the anxiety begins to ebb and your creativity begins to flow. And so, in fact, that is the point of a four-year undergraduate education that you get at Southwestern University, for example, which is that you have the time to practice that type of mindset so that the anxiety will begin to fade because you begin to build ways of probing, and the anxiety then diminishes.
What would you say, just to wrap up here, is the messiest and most uncomfortable learning situation you've ever been in?
Oh, my goodness. Wow. You asked a hard one. I'm just trying to think through. I struggled with biology.
Yeah.
That was a tough one for me in high school. I will share with you and our listeners that was not good. But I think for me, the messiest has been to learn how to write well. You know, my many articles and books and whatnot. When I started writing, I was a lousy writer. And it was interesting that with lots and lots of practice, I'm not claiming that I'm a great writer today, but my writing definitely improved. I could see that through the work that copy editors do when they work on my manuscripts and whatnot. And I'm very proud of that. I will say that that's a proud moment for me. I've never had anxiety though. I will share with
really?
You. Yeah, I don't believe in it. I don't think I only do things that are effective. Everyone talks about critical thinking. I don't care about that. I care about effective thinking, as you know. And to me, I don't see anything that really productive that comes out of anxiety. So I tend just not to have it. I will think about things. I will take them seriously. I'll work hard at them. But the anxiety and the nervousness, that doesn't help. And so I don't really focus on that, and usually it doesn't really come up. So it's just a matter of being goal focused and learning whatever it is or doing whatever the task is at hand and moving forward and always just trying to resolve an issue or to accomplish something. The accomplishment to me is the great value. Of course, the problem I always have is that once I accomplish it, you're always looking at the next thing, and you don't take that few seconds to have that moment of celebration, which probably I should do more of. So the conclusion is I'm not perfect. And you laugh at that.
Breaking news.
Hey.
Well, but I think, and we've talked about this before, I think that's actually a good thing to recognize, because when we set ridiculously high standards for ourselves, that's there's right. nowhere to go but
disappointment.
Not to meet them.
Disappointment.
We can't meet them, but we've talked about taking satisfaction in going deeper, you know, step by step, small gains along the way to a path, and that's realistic.
Right. Right. And I believe, by the way, in disappointment. I get, you know, I'm always, you know, disappointed that, you know, something didn't work out even better. You're never satisfied with what you do. But the idea of being anxious or having anxiety about it, that's not productive.
I just put that on the list for a future episode topic, anxiety.
Oh, great.
And how to get rid of it.
Great. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's definitely talk about it. Well, thank you, Ed, for helping us keep our brains sharp. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown. You can find out more at southwestern.edu. Keep your brain busy also by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. You can also find Higher Ed on iTunes. I'm Jennifer Staton, KUT News.